This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Reading is the portal through which humans explore the experiences of other people, other times, and other worlds. Tomorrow on Fountain Square, Learning Through Art kicks off the National Literacy Month by laying down a challenge to all the adults in Cincinnati. At the same time, it will announce the grand opening of the Arts Over ACEs Center, designed to build resilience in children and families, while also improving literacy outcomes. To discuss these initiatives, we are joined by the CEO and co-founder of Learning Through Art, renowned singer, community leader, Kathy Wade, and by attending pediatric physician at Cincinnati Children's, Dr. Anita Shaw. Dr. Shaw focuses on screening for and mitigating childhood adversity and promoting resilience both in the inpatient population and in community settings. If you would like to join the conversation, please call us at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. I just might say, Dr. Shaw, that a few weeks ago we had a major interview. I can't remember. It might have been the whole show on ACEs. So hopefully the audience listens every day and has a background as we get into this. But let's begin with Kathy, because, you know, why not? First off, Kathy, what is Cincinnati Reads, and what's the challenge you're laying out to people?
Well, Cincinnati Reads is our signature fundraiser that we do at Learning Through Art. We started it last year because we really wanted to wrap the region in reading. This year, we're wrapping the region in reading and resilience, primarily because of the book that we selected to feature this year. But Cincinnati Reads is very simple. We want everybody to be a page turner. Page turner, of course, is our mascot, Al, and you can join that effort. But when you become a page turner, we ask you to share the name of your favorite book, the title of your favorite book on social media with the hashtag LTA Cincinnati Reads, donate, and then tag three friends and challenge them to do the same.
So, when you say the favorite book or this year's book, what is this year's book?
So when we do the Cincy Challenge and we have the kickoff on Fountain Square, we select a book. Last year it was Giraffes Can't Dance. This year it is Chrysanthemum. And one of the reasons why we selected Chrysanthemum is that because we know that if you're going to talk about resilience, the book Chrysanthemum is about a little mouse who is teased mercilessly about her long name. It's a flower, it's too long, doesn't fit on the name tag.
And are people challenged to spell it too?
No, not quite, although we might do that. But the reason we took that book, we wanted to take that book, is because we were able to take it into schools last year. And what we discovered is that we were able to have the discussion about bullying. Bullying is one of those outcomes that happens with trauma, and that trauma can then be directly related to ACEs. And as you did mention, we are kicking off our Arts Over ACEs Center for that very reason, to be able to take a book and change, give people tools, not only the tool of reading to sustain themselves, but tools and how to handle themselves and how to alter the path for trauma and bullying, in particularly bullying.
Okay. Dr. Shaw, sure. I was teasing before. we have focused on ACEs recently, but I'm not sure every listener listens every day. So can you tell us a little bit about what ACEs is and why it's sort of become really an important way of evaluating what's happening with children and inside families?
Yeah, that would be great. So adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs as they're called, include exposures to traumatic events that might include having a parent that was physically or verbally abusive, suffering from neglect, or living with a parent or caregiver that was mentally ill or incarcerated. So there's actually a questionnaire. There are 10 questions where they ask yes or no responses to these exposures. And what we do know about adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, is that if you have four or more yeses to any of these exposures, you have increased rates of comorbidities in adulthood. So this means that you have increased rates of cardiovascular disease, increased rates of depression or mental health disorders. So we know it's really important to start tackling ACEs to prevent them, but also mitigate the effects that they do have.
And with multiple ACEs, the more yeses you answer to those 10 questions, the more likely you've got some sort of toxic situation, right?
Correct. Yeah. So it's what we call a dose response relationship. So as your exposures or as your number of ACEs increases, we know that the likelihood of some of these illnesses are more likely to be positive. And what you were referring to is toxic stress. I think this is one example that I allude to is if you think about stress, there are day-to-day stressors that are very common and normal. So if you think about a child in their first day of school or the first time they're trying to read, these are difficult situations that they're able to cope. And the reason they're able to cope is because they have usually a caregiving adult that's able to talk them through and learn how to process that stress. Toxic stress is a little different. It's prolonged. It's more persistent. So if you think about a bear that's in front of you, your stress response is going to go through the roof. You're going to have your stress hormone levels increase. So your cortisol actually increases. And this triggers what we know as a fight or flight response. So your heart rate increases, your breathing rate increases, and you're trying to get ready to either fight or run from the bear. So if you take away the bear, that stress response goes away. With toxic stress, that bear is there all the time. Hmm. It's persistent. And that's when we say it's toxic, because we know this has implications in learning and development.
So it gets in the way of lots of things at some point. So the question, when you're using the word, Kathy, resilience, what do you mean by that?
Resilience means we want to build your ability to be able to handle your stress.
Because everybody has some stress.
Everybody has some type of stress. I always say that trauma doesn't have a color, doesn't have a size, it doesn't have a weight, it doesn't have a gender. Trauma is trauma. So when you're building that resilience, and when we're doing this with Cincy Reads and having the opportunity to do this on Fountain Square, not to give such a detailed answer, but to make it very simple for people to understand that through this book about a little mouse who was teased mercilessly about their name, it's a bullying issue. Just think about having to go to work every day and somebody just hammering you over and over again. So what we want to be able to do is to take this story, one, and show how that was, how the little girl was able to realize that her name was simply perfect and beautiful by the actions that happened, but also teaching the people around her that were teasing her how to change their attitude and change their path. So Cincy Reads gives us that opportunity, and that's why we wanted to deal with resilience, because we knew Chrysanthemum would give us that opportunity. Two of the things that we'll be doing on Fountain Square, of course, we're going to do a mini session of what we call Books Alive for Kids, which is actually the program that we use in our Arts Over ACEs centers, where we make books come alive through sight, sound, and touch. So we'll read the book. Bob Herzog will join us from Channel 12 and do a reading of the book.
Dangerous to bring Bob.
It is always dangerous to bring Bob, but it's always a lot of fun.
But always a
and
lot of fun.
And he loves Books Alive for Kids, so we always try to bring him along. So he's going to come down and do our reading this year. And then we're going to actually do two things. We'll have Rosie Red and Gapper from the Reds on the Square with us, and we're going to pass out anti-bullying boutonnieres. When we do the book, Chrysanthemum, the craft that we make is a boutonniere, and there's a whole pinning ceremony. So we decided that we would have Gapper and Rosie Red come out and pass out what we're calling random acts of reading and resilience. Anybody on the square, as long as we have them, we'll get a boutonniere. You can put it on after the show. But then the other thing that we're bringing is our Wrinkled Heart poem. And our Wrinkled Heart poem is a really nice little poem that basically says, be careful what you say, because what you say leaves impressions. And what we want people to do, we'll give everybody a heart. And as they hear and see the play come alive on stage with the Children's Theater of Cincinnati, every time they hear something negative said about Chrysanthemum or her name, we want you to wrinkle your heart. We want you to be a part of the play. Wrinkle the heart. And at the end of the play, we will actually say to the audience, please take a look at your heart. Try and smooth it out. You can't smooth out those impressions. That's what bullying is. When you make that impression, it is everlasting. And that's what we want people to be aware of, so that you always watch what your mouth says, because that leads to the action that ultimately leads to the stress, that ultimately leads to
Right. So this new initiative between these organizations, children's and learning through art. This is actually a center, and what's going to happen, Dr. Shaw, at this center?
Well, it's our center, what we're doing, Learning Through Art has decided, our Books Alive for Kids program is very heavily set in social-emotional learning, where you're able to alter people's behaviors just by reading. Our contention is that you put a child on your lap, You help them to read the story. There's three activities that you do. You can do it in four easy steps. But it's just that basic act of touching that child, bringing that child to your lap, reading a book together. That begins to alter the path of solutions that you can use to bring the stress down, something that's totally different. At the same time, you're giving that child a skill that will help them to survive, to sustain themselves. So in our Arts Over ACEs Center, we want to be able to mitigate those things by being able to teach people and show people how you can take a book and the activities tied to that book. The artistic part that makes it very interesting with every book that we bring in is that we get to bring a different arts group with us. And that arts group has its own methodology, how they deal with stress. So we literally tie what they do to our books and then have an entire 90-minute session, which will be open to the public.
So this is a place?
This is at Learning Through Art's new office. We are now in St. Al's, St. Aloysius Orphanage over on Reading Road. And we have an entire wing. Yes, we moved over there in January and we have a wing. And in that wing, we'll be able to do our programming.
Wow.
Yes.
Expanding.
I have a 10-minute walk from my house, so it's very exciting.
That's where things always get located. Very close and convenient for the CEO.
Absolutely.
We know about that. So from children's Cincinnati Children's perspective, Dr. Shaw, what are the things that you want to see? Who should be the readers? Mm-hmm. How are you going to find the kids? How's all this going to get put together?
Yeah, so that's a great question. One of the readers really should be the children of greater Cincinnati area. And one thing I wanted to allude to is that you're talking about how we, Cincinnati Children's, but also I work with a community collective group called Joining Forces for Children. And that's how Kathy and I connect, because we're trying to work to address, to prevent and mitigate the effects of ACEs by building resilience and creating strong community partners that we know do these effects. So what we bring as physicians and researchers is to really study what interventions are working, such as building literacy, in order to prevent the downstream effects that we know exist with ACEs. So we work not only in, we work in the greater Cincinnati area, but we work within schools to teach teachers how to relate back to students that might have high stress or high adversity exposure, also to get principals involved, but also to get healthcare providers involved in thinking about what ACEs means when they see their patient. So this is really a cross-sector approach that we're trying to tackle ACEs, because we know it just doesn't happen in isolated arenas.
And it allows us to be able to have a broader base of people to talk to and to understand and see other best practices. We were actually in Washington, D.C. with Building Community Resilience, the organization that has about seven cities that are involved that are looking at ACEs, seven, and Cincinnati's one of them, and they very well should be because of all the work that's going on with children's here. So for us, Learning Through Art, it gives us a wonderful opportunity to draw on all that research. You know, we hear about ACEs a lot, but to be able to have somebody to spin things off on and make sure that we stay on the path that is the most prevalent and the most the latest things that we need to be aware of. We always want to stay ahead of the curve. We don't want to fall behind it. And this helps us to do that with their research.
To be effective.
Absolutely.
To be effective.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
When you went to that that conference, were there things that really jumped out at you that, and Dr. Shaw, were you at that conference too?
Yes, I was too.
Were there things at that conference that you learned that was like, oh, hadn't thought about that before?
I think for me, before she says this, the one thing that I realized is that I actually went to just be an advocate during the work that we did on Capitol Hill. But one of the things I learned with being with all of the other cities is that I didn't hear anybody use the word art. So it gave me an opportunity to say at the very end of the presentation, the only word I haven't heard in 48 hours is art. And why not? Because art is a very big, it is our most common bond because it makes us human. So therefore, it's our most common bond. And we know that art can be a great teacher and an opportunity to alternate people's attitudes. Art is very good at doing that. So I just wanted to throw that out before she gives her answer, because that's one of the first things that jumped out at me.
Yeah. And I think you speak to exactly what I found is the diversity in how we can approach ACEs. Mm-hmm. So whether it's through art, whether it's through reading, other community mentorship programs, I think seeing how different cities modeled it according to the assets that they had in their community and building off of those was what was really strong to see and powerful, and what we hope to bring back here as well.
Well, I would suggest that
in this city, arts is a powerful force.
It is.
On lots of levels, not only learning through arts, but you were mentioning earlier children's theater. It sounds like a partner here. What a powerful organization they
are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been with us now for the last 8 or 10 years.
Yeah.
That they do the performances. They help. We sit down and we actually produce the performances that go with every book.
So, every book.
Yeah, that we do. We have about 60 books that we've done now through Books Alive for Kids.
And with that program, does it happen, you know, a book is done for a certain period of time? Or is that just becomes part of the repertoire?
Of the repertoire. We select 3 different books every year. We have some books that we do bring back after so much time. But we've been able to pull 60 books with all kinds of themes. And at this point in time, since we are now at St. Aloysius and dealing in the whole space of ACEs, we were able to work with them this summer. But of course, they have a school over there. And we were able to work with their summer program with the topics that they selected around the whole ACEs spectrum. And we were able to match our books to those topics and then further the lessons that they were trying and the skills that they were trying to give their students to be able to handle their stress and their traumas.
Dr. Shaw, what have you learned by collaborating with somebody like Kathy Wade? Or should I ask her to leave the room first?
I've learned so much. One of the things that really touched my heart, I think, is the little hearts and that process of actually going through while you're reading the book and crumpling it up. And that physical or that tangible, I think that's really key because that helps. You know, ACEs is a difficult concept to potentially grasp. I know we've made it a little bit more concrete with the questions, but I think when you see it, this is what happens to a person. And it takes time to smooth out those wrinkles. I think that's pretty powerful. And so thinking creatively about how we discuss what it means to different people in Cincinnati, I think is going to be really key. And so that's definitely what I've learned from her. It's been an honor.
So are you identifying children who maybe come into Children's Hospital who you feel are experiencing significant stress? Maybe you're actually using the ACEs test. Is that the audience you're trying to reach, or is it more general audiences of children in general, some of whom may be experiencing significant stress, others may just be, you know, typical kids and they have some stress? And sort of what's the approach? Who is it you're trying to reach and target?
Right. That's a great question. And I think this works to some of the research that we're exploring. So we don't currently screen every child that comes in, but we do have questions in place that address some of these issues. We've actually largely taken the approach as looking at the parental ACEs, so parents that have a history of adversity and how that relates back to children, because some of the children that I see might be actually too young to voice that they have experiences, or in a clinical setting might be too ill to really talk about those issues. So we are working on what's the best approach. How do we ask parents about these sensitive questions, but also educate them on what it means and why we're asking? But also we want to target this population so we can identify what are the pieces that we can or what are the interventions that we really can do to build resilience in these families. So I work in the hospital setting. So if a parent comes in and they're hospitalized, we know if they have a high rate of adversity that they have more coping difficulty when it comes to going home. So thinking about how they think through filling their medications, following up with the doctor, those are things that, you know, should happen after a hospital visit. And so what are interventions that we can really build to support the families going from the hospital to home? So we have a number of different screening tools and interventions that we're working towards to identify what's the best that we can do in the healthcare setting. But we're really using a dual approach. So that's what's happening in the clinical settings, but we're also partnering with the community to see how we can tackle ACEs. We're in families. Most parents and children stay out of the hospital, which is great, but how we can tackle those in the community, I think, is going to be key.
Which is exactly why we created Arts Over ACEs. And, you know, it's an easier way to hopefully have this conversation about ACEs. You know, people may have a stigma around this trauma, you know. Okay, I've seen the 10 questions and I've got 5. Oh, my Lord. That's not what we want to do at all. It's all manageable.
Because people can overcome.
People can overcome. Absolutely. Absolutely. The question is not what's wrong with you. It's what happened to you. And when you talk about what happens to you, That's a great way to segue into a book because you can tell all kinds of stories about what happened to people through books. They can relate to it. It becomes something that then we can take that opportunity through our PowerPoints that we do with each of the books that we do in our backpacks. We always have 5 points where you can have a discussion about whatever that topic is, and hopefully that discussion will give you some additional tools as a parent to be able to address whatever stress there may be.
And I just want to make one quick comment to that about resilience. And that's something we do know in research, that the majority of people are resilient. Mm-hmm. So if they're not, it's usually a reflection of their environment. Mm-hmm. And that means it's something that we can change and modify and build resilience in all adults and kids.
And I'm almost out of time, but very quickly, Kathy, we tended to talk about these programs relating to children. Mm-hmm. Do they also relate to the adults?
Absolutely. In fact, when you come to the Arts of or ACES Center, we have programs in the center as well as outside of the center. You must come with an adult. You cannot bring a child by themselves. They can't come in. It's not a babysitting service. It is a family. It is a wraparound effect for the entire family and community.
Kathy Wade, Dr. Shaw, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having
me. Good luck tomorrow in Fountain Square. Tomorrow and Thursday, Cincinnati Edition will be preempted by NPR anchored coverage of the Supreme Court confirmation hearings for nominee Brett Kavanaugh. This live coverage will begin each day during Morning Edition and run until All Things Considered, which starts at 4 o'clock. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. Segment producer is Layla Shakui. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our program are available on the website, wvxu.org. I am Dan Hurley.